You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the show. And those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. A couple of housekeeping kind of announcements real quick. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for the K-Files e-zine, be sure you do. I'm still getting emails from people who say, you know, hey, I haven't gotten the K-Files e-zine in a couple of weeks. What's up? And, you know, we've published, plus we said every single day on the show for 2 weeks that we were getting hacked and that we had to restore all of the website. We had to reinstall the website every single day for just 1 day shy of 2 weeks. And so that, you know, we said it's quite possible we lost some data. And, you know, if you're not getting the K-Files e-zine and you are subscribed, we have said many times, just resubscribe and we'll be glad to send it to you. So that's just a reminder again, if you missed all those many announcements and you're not getting the K-Files e-zine, go click the button and subscribe. And hey, if you've never subscribed, you know, what's the deal with that? As I'm fond of asking, where's the genius in that? Look, it's free, and it contains information about what's happening with the show, what's happening inside the show. Sometimes we place articles that we have found interesting. And so forth. So we also have links to videos that are quite interesting. And so it is our free weekly newsletter. No strings attached. You can unsubscribe if you want to, anytime you want to. There's a link in every edition where you can unsubscribe. And some people do. Most people don't. But you're free. That's what this show's about. You're free to think. It does kind of amaze me sometimes. You know, I've been doing this show now for 9 years, and it sort of amazes me sometimes if I say something that, someone disagrees with that view, or I have a guest on and they disagree with that guest view, they get all miffed and bent out of shape and send me this nasty email, unsubscribe, tell me they're never going to listen again. Did someone forget to teach these folks about freedom of speech, freedom of thought? Just because people discuss something doesn't mean those who are listening have to agree with it, right? And that is why we open the telephone line, so you can ask your questions, and if you disagree, just do it. I don't know. We get a few like that. Not too many. Most of our audience does believe in freedom of speech and freedom of thought, and they are not threatened and do not feel threatened by someone having a different opinion. You know, different doesn't mean wrong. And if you think that I agree with everything that every guest says on this show, wow, you've been drinking weird Kool-Aid. That's not the purpose of this show is not to present to you what I think is absolutely, unequivocally, the truth. It is to present to you those who are making waves, either by books, videos, seminars, somehow they're making waves in our genre. Let you hear from them yourself. We want to hear from you yourself tonight. It's Open Line Live, and we're going to be talking about whatever is on your mind. We'll be back right after this. Welcome to Open Line Live Night. On Open Line Live, for those of you who are new, this is a BYOT night, bring your own topic night. Now, what that means is we'll talk about whatever's on your mind within our genre. And we're not going to talk about, we won't talk about auto mechanics or how to remodel your bathroom or politics or stuff like that. It's got to be within our genre, which is the strange and unexplained, but so long as it's within the genre, whatever's on your mind needs to be on the table for all of us to think about. Because, look, if you're thinking about it, it's an absolute guarantee you're not alone. If you're thinking, you know, there's something that's come up, it's about UFOs, or it's about alien abduction, or it's about cattle mutilation, or cryptozoology, are strange anomalies on other heavenly bodies like Mars, the moon, or other planets, or ghosts, something paranormal, EVPs. If you're thinking about it, rest assured there are lots and lots of other people in the audience also thinking about the same things. And so, for that reason, we have Open Line Live and invite you to call in with your topic. It is bring your own topic, and we allow you to do that, okay? Now, the way you do it is you can call our telephone number, 602-539-9580. Or if you're outside the USA, you're outside of Canada, that number works, and so you can call it. But if you don't want to use the telephone, you don't want to make an international long-distance call, what you can do is use our flash message. Now, if you're in Canada or the USA, we won't read those flash messages. In fact, most of them don't even make it through the filters. But if you're outside of Canada or the USA, just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message, and just type your comment or your question, and we'll put it on the air and discuss it, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there. Finally the first caller again. Kevin, I wanted to ask you, are you related to any Fords by any chance?
Fords?
Yeah.
As in like Henry Ford?
Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, no.
You're not, because huh? I'm sure a lot of people have noted this, but I'm on Google Images right now, and I've got a picture of Gerald Ford, and standing right beside a picture of Kevin Smith, and my God, the resemblance is uncanny.
I've been told that. I've also been told, of course, I was much thinner when I was told this, but I've been told that when I laugh, I look like Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
Right? I've been told when I laugh, I have the same wild look in my eye that he has.
Well, you know what? Unlike what he yelled in the movie, I think we're folks that can handle the truth when it comes to, especially when it comes to extraterrestrial life. I'm telling you, one book that I'm reading right now, and it's a darn good book, it's a bit out of date, is Timothy Good's Above Top Secret, the worldwide UFO cover-up. It's an unbelievable book that I've been reading.
Yeah.
Timothy Good, he's done an amazing job cataloging all the quote-unquote official UFO sightings from people that are who are quote-unquote trained observers,
mm-hmm.
like military personnel, police officers, pilots, you name it. And it's an amazing read.
It is. I read it, as you said, it's an older book. But just because it's older certainly has nothing to do with the value of it. It's a great book, and I read it several years ago.
Yeah, it's published in 1988. I was 4 years old when that book was published. And from a lot of the research I've done, I have to say, he says that the ones that he's cataloged, that the alien beings that people have come in contact with, were human-looking ones. And according to Bob Dean, those are the ones that our governments have been, they were worried about, were the very human-looking ones. Not the Anunnaki, they're human-looking, but I think you can pick them out of a crowd because they tend to be about 7 feet tall. But these human-looking ones that people have noticed over the years, I think some people call them Pleiadians. Billy Meyer seems to run into them.
Yeah, he calls them Pleiarans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people refer to them as Pleiadians. It very well could be. I don't know how anybody could tell just by looking at someone. I'm not sure you could tell if you were around them for an extended period of time. I'm not sure you would be able to tell if they're extraterrestrial or not, if indeed they look just like us.
But I think there are some differences, some slight ones, but you'd really have to know what to look for.
Like they don't open the door, they just walk through the solid door?
Well, even some of the physical features, according to a lot of the research I've done, not only from Timothy Good's books, but also from other witness testimony, other people from within the military that have had contact with extraterrestrial beings, especially the human-looking ones, they say if they got natural, really blonde hair, like Ric Flair-like blonde hair, and they got very pointed faces with very pointed noses, like unusually pointed chins and unusually pointed noses, apparently those... And also dark eyes. Those apparently are humans that aren't from here. Some of them have claimed they're from Venus or from some other star system.
Mm-hmm.
And also, according what I've been reading from Timothy Good's book is that the Anunnaki seem to have been coming here since at least the early 1970s. Because the Anunnaki have been described as being at least 7 feet tall, if not taller, and having six fingers. Like five main fingers and then a thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently some people in his book have, they've reported seeing the landed craft and seeing these huge beings with the six fingers. And there's been a few reports in his books and apparently other reports throughout the 1970s and 80s of these huge beings. And one out of Russia comes to mind also from 1988.
Have you ever, and now look, I'm not being silly with this question, and I'll tell you the point after I ask it, but have you ever seen a real live full-grown ostrich in person?
A full-grown ostrich?
Uh-huh.
I think at the Toronto Zoo, yes, I have.
Okay. Are you are aware then, if they are full-grown, their head will be taller than I am. I'm 6 feet tall. But their head will be just above that. If they're standing up and they have their neck extended upward, they're taller than 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
In the ancient Sumerian carvings, where they show the Anunnaki, the Sumerian gods, hunting ostrich, he's standing eyeball to eyeball with the ostrich. He's as tall as that ostrich, so apparently then about 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The average size, and also, judging from what I read, I think the Anunnaki, I think a lot of the, their elite, or their spacefaring Anunnaki and their elite tend to be very, very tall, like the royalty, as well as their spacefarers tend to be very tall, and that their peasant class,
mm-hmm,
tend to be a little smaller, I think, through genetic manipulation. So there's no question on who's the leader, and who's not, because they've got the strength and the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of wearing rank, they wear size, and there are other characteristic features as well that differ between the rank and file Anunnaki and the leaders.
So I guess maybe sometimes when people have run into normal sized human ETs, they may, in fact, be some of the, normal class Anunnaki. Who knows?
Could be. And provided that the information about Anunnaki is true, provided that's true, even their rank and file would have abilities and technology above and beyond us.
Indeed. And if anybody wants to also some quote-unquote official confirmation of these Anunnaki, you guys might want to check out Bob Dean. He had an interesting interview with Project Camelot back last year. I've mentioned it a few times on your show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a minute. It's a 1 hour and 45 minute interview, but it's a very good interview. You can go to find it on YouTube or at Project Camelot's website. And talks about Bob Dean and the coming of Nibiru. And he says that the U.S. military has had a lot of contact with these Anunnaki. In fact, the beings that were pacing the astronauts during the moon missions were in fact the Anunnaki themselves. And the buildings that they were investigating were in fact ancient Anunnaki bases, which some have claimed have been reactivated.
Well, it could be. And certainly I know Bob Dean, and I think he's a truthful individual. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, have a good night, man.
All right. All righty then. Yeah, what about that? 602-539-9580 for the call-in line. Or you can send us a flash message if you're outside of Canada and outside the USA. Just click the link on my website that says flash message, and you can email your comment or question to us. But you have to be outside of Canada and outside the USA. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Oh, it helps if I push the correct button. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, we still don't have him. I've got the call up on the screen showing me the telephone number it's coming from. It says it's active, and yet we have no audio from that caller. Okay, well, caller, you'll have to try again. Sorry about that. And 602-539-9580 is the number to call. And we are open line live, BYOT, bring your own topic, and we'll go for it, okay? We'll see what's on your mind. All right, let's go to the telephone. And let's see, let's get this right. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, let me try that. All right, caller, give it a try. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
We finally got you.
Oh, this is Don, come from Phoenix. Yeah.
How are you doing, Don?
I could hear you all the whole time, but you couldn't hear me, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't got much tonight. I just thought I'd call in since you had open line and say hello. And I guess give you a little bit of silliness. You ever think about doing a show on dreams about people? You know, cause everybody's got weird dreams, man.
And, everyone but me.
What's that?
Everyone but me. I don't dream.
Everybody dreams. Yes.
Now, everybody says that, but you don't live in my head, so you don't know that.
Hey, my wife says she doesn't dream either, but I think really you would have to be dead not to dream.
No, I don't dream. I remember what it was like when I used to dream. And let's see. Let's do this. All right. Are you still with me, Don?
Yeah. What happened?
Okay. Well, the caller that was on hold decided they didn't want to hold on, and so they hung up and called right back in, and it put you on hold and took their call.
Oh, I see.
Okay, but now that's fixed. They can't do that. All right, no, I don't dream. I remember what it was like when I used to dream. I used to dream a lot. I don't dream.
Really?
That's not at all.
Anyways, I had a dream the other night, and like I say, this is a little on the silly side, but, you know, I was, my dreams are usually stupid and silly like that anyways. I have some very silly dreams. I always give my wife a chuckle. And I was in this Olympic-sized swimming pool, and I was swimming around. I was doing backstrokes. And down at the end of the pool, you're set up at a table doing your radio show.
Mm.
And then I look over to my right, and another guy's sitting over up on the right side of the pool. He's sitting up on a table and everything, and he starts talking. and I realized it's Art Bell. And I could tell it's Art Bell because of the voice, but the guy's dressed as a clown. Then he moves around to the other side. They decide to move on the other side of the pool. And I somehow I thought I knew Art Bell, and I get up and I start talking to him. I said hello. Yeah, I just haven't seen you in a while. And I said, you know, that's Kevin Smith over here. He said, oh yeah, I know Kevin. He says, yeah, I haven't seen Kevin in a long time. I said, well, let's go over and talk to Kevin. And we walk around over there, and he reaches down and gives you a big hug. And you look up at me as he's hugging you like, who the hell is this guy? So, like I say, it was a silly dream, but you were in it, Art Bell was in it, and so I passed that along.
I'm not much on dream interpretation. I mean, I don't know how to do it, but I'm sure that has some real significance.
Yeah, I often wonder myself. I've had some weird dreams like that. So,
well, I will think about that, and we'll just throw it out there for the audience.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't dream at all.
No, I don't dream.
Huh?
It's been years since I've had a dream.
You don't remember anything at all?
Nothing.
That's strange. Very strange.
I go to sleep. I am unconscious for 4 hours, and then I wake up.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe you're so darn tired that you go in such a deep sleep that you don't remember anything.
Well, it could be, but I had that same schedule. My schedule was even worse when I was in college. I got 2 hours sleep a night, but I dreamed. But now I don't. I don't dream. It's been years.
You know, my wife says she doesn't dream either. Mm-hmm. But I know she does dream because, you know, she's a workaholic, and she's always working at her job. And she's, well, one night she's over there looking for something on my chest. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I can't find it. She's looking for something on her desk at work.
Mm.
And I'll say, I'll ask her, I said, what do you dream about? You know, she said, I never dream.
When I wake up, I am in exactly the same position as I was when I went to sleep. I neither dream nor do I move.
Wow. I toss all over the bed.
Yeah, not me. Not me. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, take care.
All right. All righty then. Let's go to this call that's on hold. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan again in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How are you doing?
Good.
How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Good, good. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I was on hold for a while, but I had to call back. Anyways, hey, I've been following this. I want to get in a little bit about UFOs and
all right.
Some stories I've been reading on the Internet.
Okay.
And
boy, hey, you know what?
UFOs so much.
A break is going to hit us here in less than 10 seconds. Well, there it is. It started. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. You're first up. You'll hear music until then.
All right.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have Ryan on the line, I hope. Are you still with me, Ryan?
Sure am.
All right. The floor is yours, man.
Well, I just wanted to talk about that show on Friday with Bruce McAbee. It was a real fascinating show. I thought it was pretty... what I found interesting about what he had to say was that his own sighting, that seemed like a really... a compelling sighting that he was talking about.
Yeah.
And when he said that these little orange balls, these things that those two guys tried to hoax, the two knuckleheads that they hoaxed.
Mm-hmm.
When he said that he saw those in Florida, Gulf Breeze, or that they've been reported there and they've reported all over the world, it made me think about that. It's possible that there's two different. I mean, I don't think that kind of made me understand that those people put. I mean, people are seeing these little orange ball, these orange light balls, or these orange triangles.
Yeah,
because it's not just in New Jersey. So
that's true. They've been videotaped here as well. In the Phoenix area. They've been in Florida. They've been in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, California. I mean, just really all over the place.
Yeah, Tinley Park thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, I kind of thought about it. I didn't really pay attention to that. But, you know, I've been reading this story. I've even been following this. I guess there's a real long debate going online between argument online between I guess Robert Hastings, you've had him on before.
Yeah.
He really went crazy scolded the MJ-12 documents. He's convinced they're fake, and he wrote a article about it. And him and some of the members of that, I've always been kind of interested in that group, the Aviary.
Mm-hmm.
That group, and you know, he's accusing Robert Collins of and Rick Doty of forging and frauding documents.
Keeping up with that a little bit. I mean, they all sides send me the emails, so I get the emails. Hastings went on this show, and as far as I know, and I could be wrong about this, but as far as I know, his first show that he did after he wrote the original article that made the accusations against them was this show. And I said to him, you're making some pretty stern kind of in-your-face accusations here. And I said, you know, what if these guys decide that they want to take you to court for this? And he said, well, bring it on. Basically, I'm not quoting, but this is my paraphrase of what he said. He said, bring it on. I've got the evidence. They say he doesn't have the evidence. He says he does have the evidence. So as far as I'm concerned, it's he says.
Right.
And so I have stayed out of it.
I understand. But anyways, yeah, the whole ordeal, I've always been kind of interested in that group of this. What exactly were they up to? Robert Collins, he says that the MJ documents were actually... They weren't final drafts. He says they were drafts. He says they were rough drafts. That's why there's some errors in there. And he says that's how they got smuggled out. And then Robert Hastings is saying this. It just, you know, I don't know what to think about it all, but it's just kind of interesting to follow with, you know. Anyway.
Well, Stanton Friedman and I have talked about it on the air some time ago. And he said that, you know, while, you know, there's all this stuff about the MJ-12 documents being fake, and he said that he's satisfied that some of them are. He has found some of them, one or two of them, in the National Archives. So at least part of it is not fake. There may be parts of it that are. So I don't know. It's a big mystery, the MJ-12 documents, big mystery. As to if they're real or not. Here's what I don't see. I don't see what the net benefit is for making accusations against someone as stern as Robert Hastings' accusations are. I don't see what the net benefit would be unless you really, really have the proof, because you're really exposing yourself to the possibility of some rather severe financial difficulties in, you know, if they sue you and win. So you've to have the goods.
As he said openly, he says that he hopes that they sue him for some kind of libel, because then they can go into court and nobody can lie under oath. So that,
oh, well, yeah, they can.
But I don't think
I know a president that did.
Huh?
Yeah, they can lie under oath. I know a president that did.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought it was interesting, just something to pass out there, see what everybody else thinks about it.
Let me ask you what you think about it. Who do you think's right in that argument?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. The whole thing is just, I don't know if we're ever really going to know the full answer, but...
Well, I've had several people email me asking me to get them on to debate, and other shows are doing that. And there's entertainment value in it, but there is no value. I mean, it's entertaining to get them on and watch these guys fight. I mean, it's like watching wrestling, you know, or something like that.
Well, how could Rick Doty be a state trooper in New Mexico if he's ever made false statements? There's got to be, the whole thing is weird, but
yeah. And so, there's entertainment value in it, but I see no possibility of getting to the truth. And since I see absolutely no possibility, I haven't involved this show in it.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right. All right, folks, the telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, and it's BYOT, bring your own topic, we'll talk about it. Now, maybe you think I'm wrong about that, maybe you think I ought to have these guys on and let them debate. The problem, as I see it, because I've been following this, I read the emails that came today, the problem is you have... two sides, they're both in the UFO community, both are slinging lots of mud at each other, both are making, maybe I shouldn't say mud, because that makes it sound like the accusations are not true, and some of them may be on either side of this thing. But you and I do not have the possibility of getting down to the truth. If I put them on the air, what we're going to get is Robert Hastings making his accusations, and they are not, I will tell you, his accusations are pretty serious, and they are not without some evidentiary backing. I've seen some that he's published. I've seen no secret file or anything like that, but I have seen some of his evidence that he's published. On the other side, you have Rick Doty and Robert Collins, and they are making some accusations back at Hastings. So you get side A says this, side B says this. And they each sort of, instead of cross-examining each other, they cross-accuse each other. And I don't see any possibility of getting down to the truth. Now, if it were in a court, the likelihood is you would get more truthfulness out of both sides because they would be under oath, but they could perjure themselves. That does get done. People do lie in court sometimes. But you might have a possibility in a court case of getting to the truth of the matter. But I don't see where you would get to the truth on a talk show. And so even though it would be high entertainment value because we'd all sit back and watch these two sides fight or listen to them fight, we really wouldn't get to any answers. And what we would do is get ourselves all heated up emotionally in favor of one side or the other. And being all heated up emotionally and saying, well, I believe this guy, doesn't mean that guy's telling the truth. So we would not, I don't think, we would have any possibility of getting to the truth. I had a debate on this show only once. Now, this was a debate between Michael Horn and someone who, Michael Horn, of course, is the person who represents the Billy Meyer story, the Billy Meyer case, all over North America. And we had someone else on that says it's all a hoax. And so we tried to have an online on-air debate. And I divided the time between them as evenly as I could. I got hate mail from one side, not hate mail, anger mail, that I didn't give them as much time as I gave the other side. I got, well, I'll just tell you, it was not Michael Horn that said that. They could not refrain from making personal attacks on each other in character assassination type comments instead of just sticking with the evidence. Against my better judgment, I went ahead and scheduled that debate, and we did it. And I won't lightly do another. Because when it's all said and done, you really cannot get down to who's telling the truth, and it's a mess for 2 hours. All right, it's BYOT. It is Open Line Live. That means you can call in with whatever is on your mind. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. If you happen to be outside of Canada and you're outside the United States of America, you can send me a flash message, and I will try to get that onto the air. Okay, here is a flash message from Norway. Stephen Bassett's initiative, The Million Facts on Washington Phase 3, has begun. You should inform your listeners about this. They can find out more at paradigmresearchgroup.org. So consider yourselves so informed. Thank you, Bjarni. From Japan, hi, Kevin. I don't have time at the moment to watch the whole show, so I popped over for a quick second to see what's on today. The very first thing that popped up was the latest little promo I sent you. Fantastic. I don't really have anything to say, but thanks a lot, and I'll be looking forward to watching the whole show tomorrow. When I have more time. Sayonara. That is from Stuart. Stuart, you know the little ads, the promos that we play that show a guy and a little boy? Okay, well, Stuart is the man. And they have teamed up to make some ads for us, some promos, and they're really creative, aren't they? I get a lot of comments on those. People like them. So that's Stuart. Okay, thanks, Stuart. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Sean from Pittsburgh.
Hi, Sean.
How you doing?
Good. Sean, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Oh, sure thing.
Yep, hang on. It just took over, and we'll get you first up after the break. During the break, you'll hear music. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and let's go to Sean. And Sean, I believe you said you're in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, a couple quick questions. I haven't been able to hear the show at all. I'm watching a video right now, and the sound isn't up. Is there a reason why that would be?
Absolutely not. There are lots of folks listening as well as watching. Are you using the Mac player or the Windows player?
Windows.
Okay. You may have muted the accidentally muted the audio in the video window. There's two audio controls, one for the video player that's in that window, and one is for the just plain audio, which is part of that Windows player. So mute the one and activate the other. If you're not hearing audio, you've got both of them muted somehow.
Okay, I'll fit it with that later. It's no big deal. I'm not sure what you're talking about tonight.
It's open line live. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. I had a question for you. If you know how fast, if a satellite, you see a satellite going across the sky,
mm-hmm.
how fast would it usually take, do you think?
Or how fast? I can tell you what I have heard, and I cannot verify this because I haven't timed it. Ed Grimsley says it will usually take 2 to 2.5 minutes for it to cross the sky and be out of sight.
Satellite.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I've seen a couple above the house a couple times here, and one of the recently is Friday night, and it probably took like 1.5 minutes mm-hmm. to go all the way from one horizon to the other.
Yeah. Now, if it's flying in a straight line by itself, that may still be a satellite. The things that Ed Grimsley sees through night vision, and not just Ed, literally thousands upon thousands of people now have seen these through night vision goggles. Usually they're not flying alone. There's two or three together, and often you will see them change course. They don't just alter course a little bit. I mean, it's like a sharp angular move, 90-degree turn, that sort of thing.
Not a slight curve.
I have seen them do this, what I'm describing now, and there was no slight curve. It was like a 45-degree change in direction.
Okay.
And it was a 45-degree reverse. So if you think of moving from the upper right to the lower left and then immediately doing a 45-degree back up towards the upper right, but 45-degree angle, that's what I've seen them do.
Okay. One other thing. I don't know. I was online and one of the news stations online, which I really don't. You discuss CNN as something different. I forget what you named it, but
Complete Nonsense Network is my opinion.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree there. But I think it was them or something had an interesting article. It was something about UFO one time, and they showed the top spots in the United States of UFO reports.
Yeah,
it showed urban and it showed rural.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I was interested in, I live right near Westmoreland County out here.
Mm-hmm.
And which is just east of Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh's at.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the number one rural place in the United States for UFO sightings, I think in like the past year or so, something like that.
Really?
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I wonder why it's such a hot spot.
I don't know. I think it was like somewhere around 200 or 230, 240, something like that
mm-hmm.
for the year that it did the survey.
Wow. That's a bunch.
And I've talked to my family a couple of times, and actually my family's had a couple experiences out here which are pretty neat. One I'd like to share with you, it'll take me a minute. My grandfather was coming home one night. I mean, I can't vouch for his credibility. I wasn't there, you know, and it was years and years ago when he was alive. And I believe my mother. He told the story to my mother, so I believe her. He was coming home in a back road one night, and I know exactly where this place is at. And just as he's coming up this back road, a lot of farms and stuff out here, he's going up, and he knows where this spring is. This natural spring comes out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He swears, okay, he saw half a dozen small beings at this spring. And as he passed them by, it was nighttime, all at once, the story goes, all at once, they turned and looked at him simultaneously. And he, like, just took off down the road and looked in a mirror and they were still staring at him. And he never saw anything like it before, and it's just scared the crap out of him, you could say, and he really went back home. And my mother knows the story real quick.
So how does he describe them, other than they were small? What else does he say about how they looked?
I asked my mom this. I said, well, what else would you describe them? She goes, they were the gray type. would you describe him as?
Well, you know, he very well may have seen. He may have seen that.
Oh, I believe it. I went and looked for the spring. I know exactly where the spring's at too. I found it. It was pretty neat. But it's near this farm field, big open field in the back. It's the only spring on this entire road. But I used to live back near that. But nothing personally happened to me back there just yet. So who knows what I may find in the future. But I just thought that was interesting. That's been a story I've had for a while now, and thought I might want to share it with you tonight.
Yeah.
There.
Well, thanks for sharing it with us, and thanks for your call. Have you ever called in before?
Yes, I've called in once before.
Okay. Well, don't make it so long between calls. We'd love to hear from you.
I'll try not to. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thanks. All righty. 602-539-9580. It is Open Line Live, and that means that we'll talk about what you want to talk about. And if you live outside of Canada or outside the United States, you can send me a flash message. Now, we've got one here from the United Kingdom from Stephen. With regards to the show about Tunguska, I found a few sites, like Fox News, National Geographic, that claim to have located a possible impact crater under the lake. So the flash of the blue light could have been the water shooting into the air, or maybe it was a volcanic eruption from under the lake that caused the explosion. The blue light could be explained as earth energy, which you also see sometimes before an earthquake. Well, it could be that earthquake explanation, except there's no lava deposits. And it could be the water, except that blue light was so bright it was seen all the way to India. Now, anything that bright, if there was water involved, would have vaporized the water immediately. So I don't know. It could be, I guess, but I would have a difficult time believing the physics of that being possible. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Good evening, sir.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing excellent.
Good.
I just wanted to let you know, I read that book, Witness to Roswell, that you were talking about a couple weeks back there. And I've read a couple books on Roswell, and that one was really good. It kind of tied up a lot of loose ends as far as information went, and but the result of it, for me, almost made me angry at the end of it when I got done reading it, because I was so frustrated that something like this has you know, taken so long without ever breaking out as far as information goes, and really laying the whole case to bear and some evidence coming out, you know. And I guess my attitude right now is I'm kind of curious what your feelings are as far as, you know, is disclosure even something that's going to be possible? I mean, look at how long we've held on to this, and I don't see the temperament of the world changing at all, that, you know, some great event that's going to allow that to facilitate any sooner, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you were just talking about earlier, we eat our own in the community. We can't even organize enough between ourselves to get anything done, let alone try to come together as one mind and push some kind of disclosure action forward.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little ambivalent on the issue or on the question of whether any disclosure by the government is actually going to take place. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. On the other hand, I have said very often, unofficial disclosure has been taking place. With witnesses from the inside making public statements for a long time. And we really don't need the government to pat us on the head and say, yep, you saw a doorknob, after we see a doorknob. And we see a UFO, we know it's not a cow. But I don't know that they're ever going to go public. You want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We'll be right back. night, and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Chris, are you still with me?
I am indeed, sir.
All right. Sorry we had to cut you off, but the break took over. So the floor is yours. We had to cut you off. I want you to be able to finish your thought.
No, just pretty much, I guess, about the disclosure thing. You know, we seem like we take two steps forward, three steps back, even with the advent of digital cameras and more people having technology. Well, now everything's like hoaxed or it's photoshopped. Or, you know, it seems like no matter what type of evidence is out there for the public to see, it always seems like there's three ways to discredit it. You know what I mean? It doesn't ever really seem like we move forward, no matter how much things change or no matter what names of people are seeing these things and what experiences they're having. I mean, we've got, you know, incredible trained observers that have had extraordinary experiences, and it's just...
like astronauts.
How can that not make the front page of the newspaper and people want to know more about it, you know?
Yeah, you got an astronaut saying, we still have the alien spacecraft under observance. And let me see. I may have that queued up. Let me see if I can play that. Hang on.
Questa è una registrazione radio dello shuttle decodificata o passata in chiaro per errore.
We are retransmitting the space shuttle air-to-ground communication from mission 20. This is WA3NAN.
Houston, this is Discovery. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance.
Yeah, so I don't know if you could hear it, but the radio audience and the TV audience could hear it. Who you have? You have astronauts talking about what they're seeing. Obviously, if he says we have the alien spacecraft under observance, he's talking about actually being able to see an alien spacecraft. But see, people who I get criticized for this, Chris, I challenge all the time the idea that people should even use the word believe when we talk about UFOs. And then I, in turn, get challenged on that issue. Once you bump this over into believe, well, there are some people that are going to believe virtually anything. There are some people that believe based on the evidence. There are some people that are not going to believe regardless of the evidence. But the point is not believe. There's no faith involved in the matter of do UFOs exist. There's no faith at all that's required or that's called upon, and the word believe is simply a different English word for the word faith. They both come from the same root word, and they both mean exactly the same thing. I don't believe in UFOs. Now, the reason that I say I don't believe is because what is there to believe when you have NASA video of UFOs? You have astronauts talking about the alien spacecraft is still under observance. You have other astronauts saying, I have talked with them at the Pentagon about the evidence that I have. They've confirmed it. And, you know, this thing is real. And then you've got literally miles and miles of film and footage of these UFOs in the sky. There's nothing to believe. I mean, that's like I show you a picture of my wife and I say, do you believe she exists? Well, how could you take that picture if she didn't exist?
Yeah.
You know?
So is it a self-defeating mindset then?
It is something that has been programmed into us and that we've bought into. It's programmed into us by the cover-up puppets of the media, because that's the terms they speak in. And so we say, we just buy into it and say, well, I believe in them, and we don't feel comfortable in telling the truth. The truth is we don't believe in them. There's nothing to believe. That's you've heard me say it. Do you believe in doorknobs? Well, why would you believe in doorknobs? You know they exist. You use them every day. You know, there's nothing to believe. Either they exist or they don't. And so we've, you know, the public has bought into this mindset, this programming that the media has done, where they use the word believe all the time. There's nothing to believe. It just either exists or it doesn't. Do you believe in the sun? Do you believe in the moon? What is there to believe? Either it's there or it's not. And if it's not, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know? Sir, I'll let you go. I just want to commend you for being on the front lines of this. And you know, you make people have to think and have to acknowledge what's going on out there. And we as an audience definitely appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you much for your call. I do appreciate it. All right, let me wrap up with the flash message from the United Kingdom from Stephen. It says, also, the quartz that you say, talking about Tunguska, also the quartz that you say can only be made in space is produced naturally by volcanoes. Okay, so, Stephen, go back and listen to the show. I didn't say quartz. I said ferrum silicate. And I said, I don't really know what ferrum silicate is, but it wasn't me who said that it can only be produced in space. I was quoting the Russian scientist who said that. So I don't know. And I said that. I said, I don't know. But he says it can only be produced in space. But it's not quartz. There was quartz found, and I showed pictures of that, and the quartz had etchings on it. But that's not the ferrum silicate. That's two separate deals, a whole two separate things in the discussion. Okay? All right. The telephone line is open. 602-539-9580 is the telephone number. 602-539-9580. And we'd love to hear what is on your mind this evening. Now, maybe what's on your mind is that maybe, see, every time I say I don't believe in UFOs, I get hot mail from people that are upset about that, and they say I'm doing a disservice to the UFO community. Well, I'm not. People who are true believers do the disservice to the UFO community. They're making it a matter of fervent emotion and almost religion, and for some people it is religion. When it's not, there's nothing about it that calls for that. They either exist or they don't. Now, if they do, there's nothing to believe. I've said this so many times, it sounds trite, but let me say it again for all who are new. Do you believe in Volkswagens? Why? What is there to believe? Either they exist or they don't. Do you believe in beer cans? Why would you? Either they exist or they don't. If they do, they do, and there's nothing to believe. Same with UFOs. Either they exist or they don't exist. Now, ask yourself, when was the last time your video camera videotaped something that isn't there? It can't. Video cameras can only videotape something that reflects light. When was the last time your digital camera took a picture of something that isn't there? It can only take pictures of things that reflect light. These cameras, and even if you're using film, you know, like 35 millimeter film, these cameras simply cannot take pictures of hallucinations. So they cannot take pictures of your beliefs. They do not take pictures of your beliefs, okay? And so the whole deal about do they exist, I believe they do, or I don't believe, you're falling into the trap set by the mind control operation in the media. When you fall into the whole discussion about believe or not believe when it comes to UFOs, you're falling into the mind control trap. You're buying into the language they've set for you, which determines then the boundaries of the debate. Well, there is no debate. There really is no debate. That whole debate about whether do UFOs exist, do you believe that UFOs exist, that debate's been dead for a long time. I mean, if you're just now waking up to that debate, you're waking up to a dead debate. It's done. It's dead. Put a fork in it. It's done. There's nothing to believe. The only question is not whether the question is not whether UFOs exist. That's done. The question is, what are they? Several questions, actually. What are they? Who's flying them? Where do they come from? Are they from Earth? Are they terrestrial built vehicles? Or do they come from some other place in the universe? Those questions are valid questions, but it's not a valid question, do you believe in UFOs? And it's not a valid question, as to whether they exist or not. Look, Project Blue Book, a lot of people assail it as being actually a whitewash. They say, well, it was just a government whitewash. Well, I think it was an attempt at a whitewash. However, Special Report 14 of Project Blue Book shows very clearly that the cases, the reports they had of UFOs that were reported by very qualified, trained observers. We're talking about airline pilots, military pilots, private pilots, people who are used to seeing things in the air and being able to identify those things in the air. Those reports, those are the ones that they couldn't identify, and they had to list them as unknown. So the reports that had the very best data, the reports that had the most credentialed witnesses, had a high probability of getting listed as an unknown. They couldn't explain it away. Now, what that means then is that Project Blue Book actually admits in writing, you have in writing an admission by the U.S. government that some of those are truly UFOs, unidentified flying objects. All right? So there you have it. You already have official admission in Project Blue Book that UFOs do exist. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Darren from Michigan.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It was good to see you at the Ed Grimsley Conference.
Hey, you too. I loved it.
It was good, wasn't it?
Oh, excellent.
Did you get to look through the night vision goggles?
Oh, yeah, lots of times.
And did you get to see some UFOs?
I saw some strange stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All righty, then. What's on your mind this evening?
There are UFOs, though.
Do what?
I would say there are definitely UFOs, a couple of them.
Yeah?
So, but yeah, I enjoyed myself.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I got a question for you. Actually, I wanted to get your comment on it.
All right.
There's a show on the History Channel, and it's called The Link.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard about that.
No. Oh, about the, they found this fossil of a lemur, and it's supposed to be the missing link.
Old trans species, I guess.
That's what they claim.
That's what they claim, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to get your thoughts on
it. All right, don't go away. Let's see how much time we've got here. We've got enough time. Yeah, I did a lot of thinking about that. In fact, I started writing an article about it last night. I have not completed it. But here it is. When you find something that has some features of another species, this does not indicate that it is a trans species. Now, it just so happens that early this morning, very early, I was watching Monster Quest. And if I get to watch TV, it's usually after 2 o'clock in the morning. So Monster Quest was on. I don't know if you ever get to watch that.
Yes, I do.
All right. This guy he was looking for a particular type of catfish in the Amazon. And this particular type of catfish grows large enough to eat a human. Well, he caught one, but it was not that large. It was about 80 pounds. And he's holding it up in front of the camera, and this catfish starts growling. Okay? And it, I'm not joking. This catfish growled like a dog.
I guess I missed that one.
Well, if you get a chance to see it, maybe it'll be on YouTube or something like that. It was the most amazing thing I have ever seen. This catfish growled like that, like a dog. And some of the rest of our audience may have seen this. If you did, I want to hear from you. But when you look at it, it's definitely a catfish. It's not anywhere near part dog. It has some abilities that you don't expect of catfish in that it can growl, but it's catfish. A lemur that has developed an opposable, and it's only a somewhat opposable, thumb. And there's another bone in its wrist that they say is critical. You know, it's still a lemur, and you do see evolution of a species, but it always stays within the species line. You will never find, so far at least, you don't find one that steps across the line and becomes something else. I mean, there have to be several stages and phases where this thing is phasing out of being a lemur, and they may say, well, this is evidence of it. All right, well, where's that next phase? Where's the phase where we have a human that has lemur features sort of hidden in it? You see what I'm saying?
I agree.
So you never, ever see anything cross its species line in the fossil record. And they kept saying, they were advertising this thing that it was going to be of global importance, global impact. And so I watched it. I was singularly unimpressed. I mean, look.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you know, they have found dinosaurs that have appendages, fossilized appendages that look like feathers. But they may not be. But even if they are, it doesn't mean that it was a bird.
That's true.
You know, there are birds that have things on them that look like hair.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at the fossil, you would say it was hair. But it isn't. It's very fine feathers.
Do you think it's their attempt to sell evolution to the public?
Yep, they're losing, and they're losing badly. But, you know, there are people who hear that would say, oh, then you think creationism is winning. No, they're losing too. And, you know, both the standard creation story and the story, Darwin's story of evolution, are both significantly flawed by their own evidence that they present.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, people have been brainwashed by the media to think that those are the only two options.
I agree. Well,
they're not the only two options.
And you bring some valid points in your DVD, God and the Garden.
Oh, okay. You've seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
A couple times. So,
well,
I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I don't see that as the missing link. In fact, you would have to have thousands of trans-species fossils in various stages of transition to be able to show that a transition took place.
Well, that's what I thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's more evidence?
Yeah.
And all they have is one.
They have the one, and all that means is they have a lemur that perhaps indicates a previously unknown version of lemurs.
Exactly. I don't think it's a trans species either, but I still like to see the show, but I don't think it's a trans species necessarily. It doesn't look human to me whatsoever, even...
No, and look, 1,000 years from now, people start digging around and they start finding our fossils. And they're going to say that we range generally in height from 5 to 6 feet. And then some bright archaeologist is going to dig up a Maasai warrior. And they average 7 feet. Now, they live on this planet with us right now. They're in Africa. They are alive and breathing, just like you and me. And they, those guys are around 7 feet tall normally.
Wow.
The rest of us are not. So are they going to say this indicates evolution? Well, no, it doesn't. It indicates that they genetically are different from us in terms of how long they will grow, how, you know, and how fast they will grow. And so there's a genetic difference, but they're happening now with us.
That's true.
And you could take a blood transfusion from one of them, or he could receive a blood transfusion from you, because he's just like you, except his genes don't turn off growing as soon as yours do.
All right, well, thanks for your opinion, Kevin.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Have a good night.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I saw that show. I thought it was interesting. I was disappointed in that they said it was going to be of, you know, it was going to rock your world. I didn't see that they actually gave us anything new. Maybe it does show evolution, but I don't think so. I haven't seen or heard anything about that story that indicates to me that it does show evolution. All right, we have two callers on hold, and we're just about to go into break. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Terry, you willing to hang on through the break, man?
Sure.
All right, you hang on through the break, and we'll be back to you. Let's see if this caller is willing to hold on through the break. Are you willing to hold on through the break, caller?
Yes.
All right, you hang on. We'll get right back to you after the break. Well, I guess not. Okay. There we go. We got cockpit trouble. I'm pushing wrong buttons here. All right. Evolution can be shown fairly clearly to happen within species lines. So, you know, if you're talking about geckos, you can see changes in geckos over the millennia. However, you never see one become something other than a gecko. And you don't see anything becoming a gecko. But within those family lines, you see geckos change. Same with humans. You see us change across the millennia, but you don't see us become something else. Just ask yourself, as you look around the Earth today, where's that next group ahead of us? Because, I mean, if evolution is true, it should have still been going on for all these thousands of years, and we ought to be seeing the group ahead of humans. Where are they? We'll be back right after this. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I just want to back up. You talking about proof, you know, about seeing UFOs or not.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, you know, do we really have any proof? I mean, there's a lot of people that say they've seen them or been in them. But until we can, you know, like board one like we do an airplane. I mean, we really have no proof, like you say, you know.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Don't exist.
Remember when you were a little kid, before you ever got on an airplane, Did you ever see any fly across the sky?
Certainly.
Did you have any doubt they were there?
I saw something, but do I have proof that...
But did you saw it. Did you have any doubt that it was going across the sky?
Well, what I'm saying is I believe, yeah, I seen something.
And did it look like an airplane?
Right.
Okay. You had never been on airplanes, but there were a lot of people who had been on airplanes that told you, and you saw them on TV and you heard about it. Did you have any doubt that they existed?
No, not until actually seeing them, and they were there. It's something that really exists, in society, just like houses and stuff.
Okay, now let's take the same thing and apply it to UFOs. NASA has taken videos of them.
If you cut off a leaf of a plant, and you take a picture of it, and it shows an outline of it, is the leaf really there?
Its energy is.
Or do you believe it was there?
No, its energy is, and there's nothing to believe. If you can photograph it with Carillion photography, it's photographing the energy that still outlines where the leaf was. All right? Now, it can't do that if that energy isn't there, because the camera cannot imagine, and the film cannot imagine.
Yeah. Well, is that proof or is that phenomena,
No. Well, look, phenomena, the only way that anything can be photographed is for it to be a phenomena. You are a phenomena. You reflect light. And the only way we can take your photograph is because you reflect light. That is a phenomena. NASA has taken photographs and made videos in which UFOs are there. I showed on this show a video where we heard an astronaut and ground control talking, and they said, "Can you confirm that those are reflections?" And the astronaut said, "No, those are objects." Okay? As far as doubting that they exist and basing that doubt on the fact that there's no proof, that's tantamount to saying I've never been on a plane, so I don't think they exist. I don't believe they exist. There is actually no proof of anything anywhere on the planet. There is no proof that you exist. There is evidence. And based on the evidence, I can say the preponderance of the evidence says he exists. We can take photographs of him. He reflects light, so he's real. He's got a birth certificate, and we've been able to vet this, and it is not photoshopped. The preponderance of the evidence says Terry exists. But if we decide we don't want you to be able to, quote, prove you exist, we'll prove that your birth certificate is faked. And it can be done. Anybody that, I heard it said the other night on another show, a prosecutor, if they want to, can indict a ham sandwich. They can make evidence look a certain way. And we've seen that happen. We've seen and heard stories of horrendous prosecutorial misconduct just within the past year in several places around this country. And you can do the same thing with UFO evidence. But the best evidence that UFOs are real is right straight from NASA. And it's their videos, it's their astronauts, it's their photographs, and it's their statements on their website that say it's real.
Do you believe that could be hoaxed?
Well, it could be. on the other hand, you have people who absolutely hate NASA who have videotaped or filmed UFOs. And NASA has no control over what they say. And they're saying it's real. Project Blue Book says it's real. The official position of the government may be that they want to deny it. If that is what their official position is, they're too late because they already officially admitted it in Project Blue Book.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, you know, the society that we're in today, mm-hmm. With all our technology, holograms, whatever, and, you know, and the way these things blink in and out, I mean, can we really...
Are you still there? Well, you just blinked out. I don't know if you can hear me, but you're gone. We can't hear you. Well, let me... Terry, thanks for the call. And the telephone line is open if you want to call in, folks, 602-539-9580. Let's say you're walking barefoot down the street, and there is a circular, dark brown heap of something on the sidewalk. And I say to you, don't step in that. That is a cow patty. Would you demand proof before you believe that it's a cow patty? You would go beyond belief. You would think it is a cow patty. And you would not step in it. If you demand proof, the only way you can prove it is to step in it. Okay? And so, you know, the whole debate about whether UFOs are real is a dead debate. The evidence, mountains and miles of evidence, credible, rock-solid evidence, is in. And so there is no debate about whether they're real. They are real. The debate is over questions like, okay, there they are. They cannot be explained. At least they have not been explained. So what are they? Who's driving them? Where are they from? What do they want? Now, those things are valid questions and very much up for debate. Existence of them? That's a done deal. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, my old amigo. This is Gary from...
From Nebraska. How are you doing, Gary? Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Boy, I'm having problems hearing you.
Well, I can turn me up just a tad, but that's about it. All right.
That's okay, Kev. That's okay. But... nobody is truly going to believe in a UFO until they actually experience one.
Well, I don't think anybody should believe in UFOs. As I say, they either exist or they don't. Now, if I had never, ever seen a doorknob and you were describing one, I might have difficulty imagining that it exists. But we've all seen doorknobs, and so there's no need to believe. Now, there are mountains, mountains and mountains of photographs and video and movie film shot by the military, shot by NASA, shot by commercial airline pilots, shot by private pilots, as well as all kinds of news crews, astronomers, and other types of scientists that very clearly show that there are these things in the sky. There's even FAA records, tape records, of UFO sightings that have been tracked by the FAA. And, you know, so there's really nothing to believe. They exist. The only questions are, what are they, who are they, where do they come from, and what do they want? What are their intentions?
Don't know, but I know they do do exist. Mm-hmm. I had a sighting, and it was a UFO.
Yep.
I can't tell you what it was, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
It was the true definition of a UFO. Huge craft just floating across the sky and blotting out stars in the evening. And it was, I think I was kind of bust to see that. You know, it gave me quite a bit of insight. And I'd also like to touch on the subject that I think the biggest scapegoat in the entire UFO phenomenon is Jesse Marcel.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Brilliant man. You know, just was with the nuclear wing, and he could tell the difference between a kite and something he had never seen.
Absolutely. He was the top air intelligence officer on planet Earth at that time, because he was the air intelligence officer for the only atomic armed Air Force wing anywhere on the Earth at that time.
Yeah. And now you tell me this guy couldn't, you know, it couldn't differentiate between a weather balloon and a...
Yeah, that makes no sense. I mean, right there, right at the beginning of the cover-up, is the biggest clue that it is a cover-up.
Yes, and his son swears to this day that he's a true patriot,
mm-hmm.
an elderly man, you know, still, you know, or was active in the military and a doctor. And
yep, he was a flight surgeon. You want to hang on through the break, Gary?
Sure.
All right, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line live tonight. That means we're talking about whatever's on your mind. We have Gary from Nebraska online. Gary, you still with us?
I'm Gary from New York.
New York, I'm sorry. I said Nebraska, but New York is correct.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, I agree with you that Major Jesse Marcel, you know, he took the brunt of the, well, he was the scapegoat. And this was General Ramey's decision. And I think General Ramey did a great disservice to Major Marcel and to the American public. But he did it.
Well, General Ramey should be ashamed of himself, what he did to discredit Jesse Marcel.
Oh, I agree. But look, the media played right along with this. They were called into General Ramey's office, into the outer office, and that's where the picture was taken, where you see Major Marcel squatted down, holding up shreds of a weather balloon. And he's got a real sheepish kind of look on his face. And his, the look on his face to me looks like, you guys aren't buying this, are you? And but look, the media was complicit in this. Because as soon as they said, yeah, that was, we don't have a flying disc, here's what it was, here's the wreckage, it was just a weather balloon and it was misidentified. No one in the media, and these are supposed to be top reporters, no one said, oh, wait a minute, Marcel, how is it that you, the top air intelligence officer on this planet, cannot identify a weather balloon? How is it that you made this misidentification? They didn't ask that question. So they were complicit in the cover-up. And I can't say that they knew that this was a cover-up, but just by being intellectual mudsuckers, they didn't ask the question.
Yeah.
And so he was the scapegoat. Yeah.
Oh, he was the biggest scapegoat in the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
I've been privileged to talk to Stan Friedman many times, and you know, he concurs, he agrees, and it's just a shame.
It is a shame. It is indeed. Gary, I want to thank you for the call, man. Don't make it so long between now and the next call.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you. I've been, you know, I haven't been lost. You've had some great guests and great shows lately. You're doing a fine job, and continue, and God bless you for this.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate those kind remarks. And I'll try to remember it's Gary from New York. All right. We have time for one quick call. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Has to be quick, though, because we are just about out of time here at the Kevin Smith Show. Look, I say things on this show sometimes that you may disagree with. Please believe me, that's okay. Nobody was born with a guarantee that everyone's going to agree with them. If you were born in the United States of America, there is a written guarantee that is supposed to be true, and that is freedom of speech. If you don't use it, you lose it. And it's okay to have a different opinion than I have. And I think if you have never called in and expressed a different opinion, you ought to try it. You will find out that I will let you express your opinion. I may disagree with it, but I will never shame you or embarrass you for having that opinion. You have a right to your opinion, and I have a right to mine, and that's what talk shows are all about. And that's one of the reasons that I absolutely love Open Line Live, because people call in with so many different views about so many different things, and quite often challenge me to think in a little different way about something. So if you've never, ever called in when you've got a different opinion, you say, man, that guy's just all wet. He's wrong about this. Hey, try it. Find out what happens. I don't eat people here. You'll find that out. Okay? You might want to know that in India they're reporting. This happened on Thursday, their Thursday, that would have been Wednesday, on this side of the planet. An unidentified flying object appeared on flight radars over, at Calcutta. It was over the Bengal Bay, and it was out there for 15 minutes. The only flight that was scheduled to be in that airspace was a Cathay Pacific flight. And during this 15 minutes, they had it. They could see it. But they also had this other blip they could not identify. And during this 15 minutes, communications between the flight controllers on the ground and Cathay Pacific were disrupted. They had communications problems during that 15 minutes. The Indian Air Force says that if a foreign aircraft had ventured into Indian airspace, it is the Indian Air Force's role to scramble and counter it. Well, they didn't do that. And they say they had nothing up in that airspace at that time. That's what the Indian Air Force says. So it wasn't Indian Air Force aircraft. It wasn't Cathay Pacific aircraft. What was it? Well, it's an unknown. But what's interesting is that it shows up on radar for 15 minutes, and the Indian Air Force did not scramble to intercept it. Does this mean that it did not show up on the military radar? Or does this mean they knew what it was? Or does this mean they didn't know what it was and were cautious about trying to intercept an unknown? Big mystery. We don't know the answers to that mystery, but it's a big event. You may say that's not a big event. Well, please understand, India is the world's largest democracy. And that's a very populated country. It's a big country, and it's a country with a huge economy. And so for that reason, when something like this happens over Indian airspace, it is a big event. And it's something that really, really bears watching. And we ought to keep an eye on this and see if some more news comes out about this. There have also been numerous UFO sightings this past week all around the United States of America. In Texas on May the 30th, a super bright, fast-moving object. Arizona, May the 28th, 14 disc-shaped objects high in the sky. Lots of stuff. We may have time to get to those later this week. The authors of the book you heard someone talk about on the show tonight, Witness to Roswell, will be my guest this week. You'll have to tune in each night to find out when. But I will tell you, my guest tomorrow night is Jerry Wills. Always interesting, always mind-bending. And he'll be my guest tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.